This is Gracelyn Keller with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and I'm excited today to be joined by Molly Gamble. Molly, thanks for taking the time to speak with me, and I understand you have some updates you'd like to share, so I will let you take it away.
Thank you so much, Grace. I have a couple updates to share with our listeners today that we've reported on at Becker's related to hospital designations, hospital closures, and a new regulation in Florida that is getting some attention from hospital leaders regarding C-sections. But first off, rural hospital closures. This is something we follow really closely at Becker's on a case-by-case basis. So when there is a rural hospital closure, obviously we'll be reporting on it, but also as a higher level trend and just following rural hospital health and finances. We have some new information from the Center for Healthcare Quality and Payment Reform this week. They track rural hospital closures on an annual basis and report on how many hospitals have closed each year. And also, really interestingly, hospitals that are at risk in each state for closure in the rural setting, but on a state-by-state basis. And some information and headlines for our listeners. Rural hospital closures picked up in 2023 with nearly 700 rural hospitals facing continued risk of closing due to their financial challenges. So on a state-by-state basis, if you look at the way they assess closures and risks, they either look at if a hospital is at risk of closing in 6 to 7 years, and then more immediately in the next 2 to 3 years. And if you look through the 2 to 3 year, the short-term lens of risk, New York is actually the state where the most rural hospitals are at risk of closure in that short-term timeframe. So in the next 2 to 3 years, 45% of New York's rural hospitals, or 23 of them, are at risk of closing. And New York is followed by Alabama, where 44% or 23 of its rural hospitals, and then Mississippi, where 34% or 25 of its rural hospitals are at immediate risk of closure by 2027. So this is something that has been with our audience for a long time. If you are operating a hospital in a rural setting, it is not easy. We saw the government last year respond and try to give these rural hospitals some relief through a new designation. That's the rural emergency designation. Hospitals there, if they accept that designation, would receive some increases in their Medicare payments. They'll receive some monthly investments from Medicare that would amount to about $3 million a year. But there's a big trade-off here. They would also give up their ability to have patients for inpatient care. So they cannot exceed an annual average length of stay of 24 hours per patient. So uptake of this program has been pretty mild so far. We've seen a few hospitals move toward this designation to receive the reimbursement advantages. But that said, this has been a really tough decision for a lot of rural hospitals. Giving up that inpatient designation can prompt community backlash. It really puts a lot of demands on the hospital in terms of transportation, increased arrival times or drive times to the next level of care. So this is something, Grace, we'll continue to look out for and see if other hospitals decide to move toward this rural emergency hospital designation. In the first 13 months of that program existing, we saw 19 hospitals do so. More leaders are considering it to lower their risks of closure, like I highlighted in my opening remarks. But nonetheless, this does come with some big trade-offs, and it is a really big decision for these rural hospitals to make.
And is there anything else that you're looking at today?
The second update I just wanted to make sure our listeners are aware of, and it's on their radar, is Florida passed a very big bundle of healthcare regulations in March. And in that bundle and package of measures was one that allows advanced birth centers, this is a new designation for birth centers, to perform planned C-sections. So this would permit the surgical procedure outside of the hospital setting. It's a pretty big change in regulatory approvals and designations. So this new program for birth centers, a birth center would qualify as an advanced birth center if it has certain things in place. Number one, it must be operating staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It must have two medical directors, one obstetrician, one anesthesiologist, and other qualifications. But Grace, in covering this, we've heard and received some strong feedback from hospitals that are not in favor of this allowance. The FHA has expressed deep concern, as it put it, about the safety and welfare of moms and babies. Quote, we do not believe it is safe to perform C-sections at these freestanding centers, end quote. So lawmakers have framed this change as an attempt to address what it calls maternal access deserts in Florida. At the same time, Florida has the third highest C-section rate in the country. So there's a lot of programs in place right now at hospitals in Florida to try to lower the C-section rate. So this is something that I think has elicited some strong reactions in Florida from hospitals. Also just something that hospitals nationwide might find interesting if more states were to enact similar changes to allowing C-sections outside of the hospital setting. So one more change, Grace, to note, if leaders and listeners are interested, there's more coverage at Becker's on this change that would allow C-sections to be performed outside of hospitals in Florida.
Thank you for sharing that. And is there anything else you'd like to discuss today?
That's it, Grace. Thank you so much for having me. And for both of these stories, listeners can find articles on them at Becker's. So 25 states at most risk of rural hospital closures for the first, if listeners would like to see a state-by-state lineup of how many hospitals in each state are at risk of closure in the short term. And then the other was Florida allows C-sections to move outside of hospitals. So just those two headlines, if listeners would like to read more.
Wonderful. Well, Molly, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today and share these stories on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you, Grace.